Perfume as we know it today is a sweet-smelling liquid created through complex blending of natural and synthetic ingredients. Far from being a mere scent, perfume is also a fashion accessory and a tool of self-definition. Perfumes are now branded so successfully that their value lies in their name and bottle design rather than their composition. In the story of modern perfumery, the distinct nature of 17th and 18th century perfumery is lost. It is either considered a continuation of early modern medicinal perfumery or a precursor to modern perfumery. However, in this brief talk, I will argue that perfumery in 17th and 18th century Paris underwent economic, social, and cultural changes that distinguish it from what came before and what followed. In the 17th and 18th centuries, Paris perfumers sought to establish their authority within the corporate hierarchy, assert their monopoly over the perfumery trade, and define perfume as a hygienic luxury. Before the 17th century, there existed no institution that defined what constituted perfumery. Anyone had the right to make and sell perfumes. This meant that perfumes were heterogeneous, made at home for domestic use, and by a diverse range of professionals to supplement earnings from their principal trade. Unsurprisingly enough, tradesmen whose profession meant that they dealt in the same raw materials used in perfumery were the very same tradesmen who often made and sold perfumes on the side. Thus, druggists, grocers, spicers, distillers, apothecaries, pharmacists, chemists, dentists, oilmen, and hairdressers all quite commonly sold perfumes. There's also evidence that fan makers and glovers who scented their wares made and sold their own perfumes. Finally, simple peddlers at the bottom of the market and the marchand-mercier at the top end of the market sold perfumes made by others. This all came to an abrupt end in 1614 when the Corporation of Glovers was given the exclusive right to add perfumer to their name and the exclusive privilege to make and sell things related to their trade. Over the next two centuries, the things that fell within the privilege, their privilege, were disputed, and the Glover perfumers were constantly drawn into defending their monopoly against infractions committed by other guilds. Disputation and defense of interests crystallized the profession of the perfumer. This process of professionalization through disputes was reinforced through an intellectual legitimization of perfumery that occurred with the first French language publications devoted to the art from the late 17th century onward. There was, of course, an earlier printed literature on perfumery, but the tradition of publications on perfume was altered in subtle yet important respects by the French perfumer Simon Barbe at the end of the 17th century. Barbe's work, The French Perfumer, published in 1693, represented a turning point. It was the first book uniquely devoted to perfumery published in French, and Barbe was the first professional perfumer to publish a book on the art of perfumery based on experience. Barbe was a master perfumer who owned his own boutique, the Golden Fleece, situated on the Rue des Gravilliers, which now falls inside the 3e arrondissement and is not too far from the Metro à ses métiers. In his work, Barbe argued for treating the perfumer as a skilled rather than unskilled laborer. His work was intended to record and pass on the perfection of the art of perfumery, which had been reached through the establishment of infallible rules. In his work, Barbe described the raw materials, drugs, and flowers that belonged to the art of perfumery and included over 140 recipes. The professionalization of perfume was the result of institutional changes, legal quarrels amongst tradesmen, and discourse. Two of the most palpable results of the professionalization of perfumery were that the number of individuals claiming to be perfumers in 18th century Paris increased, and that these perfumers sold a greater variety of products. Shop inventories reveal that the range of scented products sold by perfumers reflected and expanded on the range of products outlined by Barbe. Perfumers sold several kinds of perfumes intended to protect against foul airs, mask bad odors, and cure physical and mental ailments. Gloves, fans, garters, linens, and bergamot boxes were sold to wealthy clients in order to mask unwanted stenches, please the senses, and demonstrate status. but it was also believed that they carried health benefits for the body and mind, since they could, depending on their scent, excite or calm the spirits. Scented waters, essential oils, essences, and cordials were touted as cures for physical and mental ailments, from scraped knees to epilepsy. They could be rubbed into the skin, inhaled, or ingested orally. By the 1780s, scented waters, oils, and creams, such as milk of roses, were increasingly sold as essential items for the toilette. Rather than masking stench, these items of perfumery cleaned and enhanced the skin while pleasing the spirits. Perfumed creams that whitened and softened the hands and face, concealed scars from venereal disease and smallpox, were marketed to both men and women, while makeup that added color to pale complexions was marketed mostly at women. However, a much greater part of the perfumery trade consisted of selling an assortment of hair products, necessary hygienic luxuries for wealthy Parisian men and women alike. Scented oils, powders, and pomades ensured the freshness of unwashed wigs and hair, besides making unruly locks behave. The perfumer's boutique was therefore a veritable treasure trove of scented medicines, necessities, and luxury items. It was typical for a shop to sell varieties of the same product, from expensive, high-quality versions to low-quality, cheaper versions. While a necessity such as rose water for treating eye infections was quite affordable, double distilled rose water for the toilette lay outside the means of all but the wealthiest clients. The stock offered by boutiques shows that perfumers catered to a diverse clientele and satisfied multiple needs. It would be wrong, therefore, to imagine that the boutique was an exclusive place, but right to think that consuming the products acted as a signifier of status. By the end of the 18th century, perfumers had established themselves as a significant and fixed part of the Paris luxury market. In 1776, there were 225 master glover perfumers in Paris. Just under 15% were women. If we make the tentative, though conservative, assumption that each master had at least one boutique and directly employed, on average, four persons, it's not unreasonable to estimate that the profession was the main source of employment for some 1,020 people. If we take into account their dependents, around one in every 150 inhabitants of Paris was directly supported by perfumery. The figure would be higher if one included illicit makers and sellers. In the final instance, then, 18th century Paris saw the professionalization of perfumery and the specialization of the perfumer.